Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, wait, don't go anywhere. You're in the right place.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, this is formerly two middle-aged dudes
and a microphone. Formerly.
Two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
You were just dying to do that, weren't
you? I didn't think I'd ever get to play that again.
You're not going to.
Wait, you mean this?
Two middle-aged dudes
yeah, right.
and a microphone.
You're never going to get to play that again.
Oh, come on.
Hey, welcome to Weird. I keep wanting to say the other name.
Yeah, but don't.
I'm going to say Weird.
Because we are no longer.
Two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Yeah, that's. I think they get it. Hey, this is Craig.
This is Aaron.
And we are coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios in an undisclosed location right
on
outside
a
of now.
Somewhat very hot
what?
Day.
Yeah.
You well, know, a little hot outside
I mean,
today.
It's pretty
hey,
outside.
Before we get started. Hey,
what? You know, this, we're talking about the weather.
This is weird, right?
Yeah, well, it is. Everything about this is weird.
How about that new theme song for Weird?
It's nice.
I'd like to thank our good friend Mark Patch.
We go way back.
That's a custom made weird theme song.
That was played by Mark Patch.
Everything.
Everything was
the
Mark
whole
Patch.
Thing there was
the
Mark
whole
Patch.
Thing was Mark Patch.
He's like a one man.
We need
band.
To make sure we mention his name.
He's got six arms. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
or not.
I saw that. Well, he doesn't talk about it a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, no, and he hides them well.
Yeah, but he's good when it comes. You should see him play the double neck guitars.
Yeah,
yeah, those are. He's, what played, do you call those?
He played that guitar that what's his name used in Cheap Trick.
That yeah,
had, yeah, he,
that
played,
one.
He played
yeah.
that.
Rick Nielsen.
Rick Nielsen used it, and Mark played every arm on it. At
every
same
arm
time.
Was going at the
it
same
was
time.
Cooking.
You had to slow it down to see what he was doing.
Anyway,
anywho, that what we just said was weird.
I'm excited. You know what? You know why I'm excited, Craig? It's a new beginning. But
does this mean you're going to leave?
No, I'm not leaving. Oh. I'm not going anywhere.
Dang it.
You're stuck with me.
Dang it.
But I will say this: we've had some great reviews lately.
We have,
and I think
I'm humbled.
I think
I'm
I am
humbled.
Too. You know
I am
what?
Humbled by the fact that people are either really good liars and they're really taking the time to do that for us, or
well,
that we are actually changing the world and bringing peace among everyone.
I'd like to think that one, but I'm not going to because you know. I'm intelligent.
Right. And if we were bringing that much peace, we wouldn't have so much trouble in.
Our good friend, though, Ace owner, or Ace co-owner, Ace co-creator.
You having trouble?
Ace co-creator.
Are you having trouble saying what you want to say?
Adam Johnson. You know Adam from Australia.
I know Adam, yeah.
Well, he gave us 5 stars. He said this.
He's one of our best mates.
He said, this is the podcast that I drop whatever I'm doing and listen to
well,
as
he doesn't
soon
drop his kid.
As there's a new episode. The dad humor is hilarious. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know.
Dad humor?
I don't know what he's talking about at all.
Huh. And these guys cause me to get weird looks when I'm listening in public and start cracking up uncontrollably.
Let's be honest about something, Adam. Maybe the weird looks have always been there. Mate.
That may be the best review we have ever received.
It's genuine.
It is genuine.
Did you send him the PayPal?
Adam's a great fella.
Okay, I guess I got this one.
Top story.
Police are called in after Domino's 100 pizza giveaway in England's fattest town provokes chaos.
How'd you like to live in a town that's known as England's fattest town? I mean, I could. I'd probably fit right in.
I don't want to fit.
Oh.
Hordes of people in England's fattest town have surrounded a new Domino's pizza giving away free food, as the town's mayor says there are too many takeaway outlets.
So he's saying that's enough. Town's mayor says, look, we're fat.
We've
stop with the takeaway outlets.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Police stood guard outside the store opening in Whitehaven, Cumbria, amid reports of pushing and shoving as hungry customers queued for free pizza.
Okay. Get the picture. Domino's opens it up. They've got, and by the way, I've had official permission from your wife, Glenna, that I can say picture, whatever I want to.
She's not the boss of you.
She is, and she is of you.
No, she's not.
So anyway, got this
well,
brand
maybe a little.
Brand new Domino's. Open it up, and they say, we're giving away, the first 100 customers get a free pizza.
Yeah.
And this is a town of thousands of fat people.
You think the sound of that sound like an earthquake?
No, it's more like a stampede is how I kind of picture
That's
it.
That's true. Maybe. Well, anyway, only the first 100 pizzas were free, the company announced, and it said families were ditching cars in the streets
See,
to get a spot in the queue.
It's a madhouse.
Over a pizza. Edwin Dinsdale tweeted pictures from the scene. Domino's Pizza opening today in Whitehaven. First 100 pizzas free. Feed the world. Let them know it's Domino's time. But the town's council has raised concerns over the plethora of pizza and kebab shops already available in the town.
Kebab. I'll buy you a kebab.
In 2014, Public Health England found Whitehaven's borough of Copeland was reportedly found to be the fattest in the country. A total of 76% of the population found to be obese.
That's pretty fat.
They sound like they're picking on these people. Because honestly, why would you even run those numbers?
I don't think anybody's arguing with them, though.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
They're like, yeah, we fat.
They
said,
prove it. Okay, put some free pizza out there. Let's see what happens. Whitehaven Mayor Raymond Gill told The Sun, I'm not having a go at Domino's. But it's terrible how many kebab shops and pizza outlets there are now.
Why?
It's a shame now. People really don't cook.
Why is it so bad? I mean, you know, variety.
There's nothing the council can do. It's an obesity problem across the country. Domino's reportedly said their menu had lighter options.
I'm sure it does, but those...
Not lighter customers.
No.
Louise Butler, a Domino's spokesperson, commented, we look forward to bringing the unique taste of Domino's to Whitehaven locals using hand-stretched dough... And the finest quality ingredients, our menu caters for all taste, from the truly indulgent, which was all of those people, to better for you options such as our lighter Italiano range, which typically contains a third less fat.
Well, a third less fat of like too much fat is still too much fat. Yeah.
Wow, that was math.
Hey,
did you actually write that down as a formula somewhere?
I did not. No.
You probably should before you forget.
I'll copyright that. But here's a headline: Seattle woman. Receives fake movie.
Oh, now you say, now here's a headline.
Oh, what did I say?
Headline. Now here's a headline.
Let me try. Headline is.
No, try it again, but do like.
Headline is.
Try it the old way.
I just did.
Try it one more time.
Headline is.
Okay, now try. Here's the headline.
Here's the headline.
No, that was forced.
Headline is.
There you go.
Seattle woman receives fake movie money from an ATM. I first read this and I thought, wow, she got counterfeit dough. But then my mind said, wait a minute. She just snagged a pretty nice little souvenir from some fancy schmancy movie.
Well, fake movie money could be just generic prop money. It's not any particular
movie.
No,
it's got the studio name on the back where it normally says, In God We Trust. There was a picture of it. It's got like Warner Brothers Studio.
It's probably worth less than the dollar it's supposed to be.
No, I'd put it on eBay is what I'd do. Or I'd frame it and hang it on the wall
or something. If you can sell a Mary Cheeto, you can do anything, right?
A Seattle woman who received a badly damaged $20 bill from an ATM examined the cash more closely and discovered it was a movie prop. I'd want to find out what movie it came from.
What I'm saying is it's just probably out of the storage. It's just movie prop money.
But still, if it's been in a movie, I'm all about props.
Right.
I'd like to have it.
I'll give you some props.
Yeah. Darcy Fox. Oh, I wonder if it's Fox Studios.
No.
Said she withdrew $300 from the ATM at a Bank of America in Wedgwood neighborhood Monday and quickly noticed one of the $20 bills she received was badly frayed and being held together with tape. Fox said in a Facebook post, she went inside to exchange the bill and noticed while waiting in line that it wasn't real cash at all. It was a movie prop.
And it was found in Seattle, which is a lot further away from Hollywood than I would think it would be.
Yeah.
It's probably not worth.
Somebody used that bill to pay for something. That's how it got in the bank.
You seem pretty confident about that.
Motion picture use only, the bill reads, where it should say United States of America. It bewildered me that they could actually have that occur at a bank. Fox said the bank refused to exchange the fake bill, but that's rude.
That is rude.
She just got it out of their machine.
Well, you know, they got to stop and take pause there for a second. You got to think, why would you have this?
But a Bank of America representative said Fox has since been given a real $20 bill. The bank said there are safeguards meant to keep counterfeit money out of ATMs, but did not elaborate on the details. I mean, this is blatantly fake money. The bank isn't supposed to miss these things, Fox said. I just don't want this to happen to other people. A bank industry is supposed to be trustworthy. So I wonder if they let her keep it after they gave her a real $20 bill.
I mean, it's, again, I'm going to bet it's not worth much.
You can
keep the dream alive if you want.
I'd love to have it. I just love
to have
it.
Why don't you call her up?
Because it's rare. It'd be neat.
I bet it's not rare on a Hollywood studio backlot.
She's not going to. That's how they pay their actors.
Hey.
Yeah.
Man driving van with drugs written on the side. Arrested for drug dealing.
Okay. Was he same guy wearing the Who Needs Drugs t-shirt?
I don't know. I doubt it. This is Santa Cruz, California. Santa Cruz, California. A man driving a sketchy looking van with the words sex and drugs and rock and roll printed on the side of it was arrested after officers found methamphetamines, knives, tear gas, and evidence of drug sales.
Good grief.
Hey, you know what? Who cares about the evidence of drug sales? He had tear gas, knives. Methamphetamines. Bradley Kelman, 60, of Santa Cruz, was identified as the van driver. His license was suspended from a past DUI conviction, and his registration tags were fake, police said. A Santa Cruz police officer first noticed Kelman driving his white Dodge Ram van at 10:30 p.m. on Friday. The officer pulled the van over on the 800 block of Hanover because its brake lights were out.
And it was just a white van.
And it was a white van, and it was unregistered. The driver refused to identify himself or exit the van. He was uncooperative and stated he had a right to travel, police said. He does have a right. Don't you have a right to travel?
I've got a right to travel.
The officer could see a large blade knife in the center console. While the officer was trying to calm him down, additional units responded and deployed spike strips in front of the tires of the van, police said. Our canine unit officer recognized the suspect as Bradley Kellerman.
So he's known.
Who has a history with local law enforcement.
Yep.
The sergeant on duty was then able to talk to the Mr. Kellerman. The Mr. Kellerman. Like that. Talk to the Mr. Kellerman into exiting the van.
Finally, they said, here's a hot dog.
A police dog we shouldn't have to name, but we'll go ahead and tell you her name's Luna. Alerted officers to the presence of narcotics. I like presence.
So do these drug dealers that wear, like, who needs drug shirts and drugs on the side of their van, do they think
that it's too obvious? Why would I be doing that?
Is it that, or are they, like, just giving the middle finger to the
law? I don't know. There was that guy that had the stuff hidden in his trunk.
I don't remember that guy.
The guy that said, you're not going to find it, and they were in the back of his trunk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
You were on that show, right?
Yes, I was.
Hey,
yeah.
Play it.
So we got this Florida man, and the headline
Where is he?
Is,
I don't see him.
Florida man worried about zombies breaks into a home, deputies say. And this is from Deltona, Florida. Craig, you've been there many times.
No.
A man who said he was too worried about zombies to stay outside broke into a Deltona home and stole belongings, according to the Volusia County Sheriff's Office.
He was worried about zombies, so he needs to break in and steal stuff.
Yeah, and I'm going to say there's probably going to be some synthetic drugs involved.
Maybe some
in
bath
this
salts.
Story. Yeah, something. The victim woke up around 3 a.m. Thursday to the sound of someone rummaging through dresser drawers and saw Patrick Ray.
Patrick Ray, is that you?
Age 31, standing in his living room, the arrest report said. Ray walked out of the home when he saw the victim. Oh, I didn't know you were home.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry,
I woke you. My bad.
The victim said he noticed his shorts, wallet, and keys were missing. He woke up his son, and then Ray returned to the home minutes later, telling the victim about zombies trying to get him, and he felt uncomfortable outside, according to the report. Yeah, this guy's watched too much TV. Either that or he's taken too many drugs.
Bath salts.
Yeah. The victims blocked Ray from leaving until deputies could arrive. They said,
they weren't the victims at that point, were they?
They said, there are zombies. Stay right here
Stay here. Stay here, man.
They won't get you. Deputy said surveillance cameras outside the home recorded Ray entering a gold Chevrolet that was parked in the driveway at 2:03 a.m. He grabbed a house key that was in the vehicle and used it to get inside the house, the report said.
I always leave my house keys just lying in my car.
Yeah, I leave my keys in the car. He came back outside at 2:48 a.m., this time wearing the victim's heavy coat, according to authorities.
Who's watching these timestamps?
He's got to disguise himself.
Now, who's watching these timestamps?
Oh,
who knows that 2:48?
Timestamp cop.
Okay.
Deputy said Ray went through the victim's belongings, took a pink selfie stick, a Bluetooth speaker, and a wallet, all things you can get at Gimme a Five on a good day.
Right.
A jacket, car keys.
Five Below.
Yeah, either way. And put them in the front seat of a Kia that was parked in the garage. So he was going to take the little Kia, too. Ray was arrested at 3:19 a.m. Thank you, timestamp cop, on two counts of burglary and unarmed burglary of an occupied dwelling. All right, this story. This is funny, Craig. This is a good one.
If it wasn't funny, it wouldn't be on this podcast.
Yeah, some would argue.
That's true. Fed up postman steals boy's water pistol after being ambushed by a gang of five-year-olds.
Give me that.
I just love the headlines. A postman who was ambushed by a gang of five-year-olds with water pistols has been banned from a street after confiscating one of the guns. Cody Harvey, five, and two of his friends were squirting one another, but when the post van arrived, Cody said, "Squirt him!" So they turned their pistols on two postmen. According to Cody's mom, this is in England.
Yeah.
It's got to be. One of them returned fire with elastic bands.
So one of them was having fun. One of the
postmen, like, turned around with some rubber bands he had in the truck.
He's like, pow, pow, pow.
Yes, he started, like, taking the kid's eyes out with
it. Yeah.
But the postman, who wasn't amused, took the 12-pound water gun.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Man. 12 pounds. It cost 12 pounds.
Oh.
From him and threw it into the back of the van before driving off
I'm taking this.
Cody's mother, Leanna Jeremiah, 29, said the gun was later found by the village shop owner, dumped in a bin.
He took it to the pawn shop, and they said, look, man.
Yeah, this can't give you much for this, man. It's made of plastic.
Yeah.
I can't give anything for plastic.
It's only half loaded.
Yeah. Maybe you should go fill it up and bring it back, and then we'll see. She said the postman called Cody a bleep while Royal Mail apologized and sent a check for a new water pistol. Well, they found it when they just give it back to him.
Really? They sent a 12-pound check.
Leanne said, when I watched the CCTV footage, I was furious. The postman grabbed my little one's arm and snatched the gun. Then my little boy must have said, squat him, or something, just messing around. He grabbed his arm and swore at him, calling him a bleep, and then ripped the gun out of his hands.
Now, see, that's the difference between her and my parents. My parents would have probably given the postman a reward for...
And just worn you out.
Yeah.
Man. He was swinging it around, and then he chucked it in the back of the van and drove off.
I love that word, chuck. You know, he chucked it.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't he just come and see my mom if he had a problem? I don't know. My little one was screaming and crying, and my mom asked, what's the matter? She came out to see, and the postman spun off down the street. Well, when he spun, he probably flipped it, and she grabbed it back from
laughing.
Him. Yeah, laughing. he's on foot. Cody was a bit shocked. He was frightened more than anything, and he was devastated to lose his toy. He loved it.
He had a stamp on the top of his head.
Yes. What? They were probably being cheeky, but he's only a child at the end of the day.
Cheeky's another great word.
Cheeky's great. Cheeky's great.
They chucked the cheeky.
The man shouldn't have responded like that. He's representing Royal Mail, after all. He shouldn't be doing stuff like that.
I think he should, especially representing Royal Mail. You don't squirt.
Okay, if a cop walks up and a kid's being goofy, cop's going to be like, you know, joking around. He pulls his revolver, name it the kid.
Accidentally shoot.
No, but I mean, if a little kid comes up and doing that, you're like, hey, stop it now. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, all right.
Stop it. And then you kick him.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think people like that theme music?
Well, I've heard some do.
Because I hear somebody out there thinks that people don't like it, and I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
You know what?
What?
Do us a favor. If you like or do not like.
Yes.
Let us know. Go to our website, Weird News Podcast.
WeirdNewsPodcast.com,
and leave us a voicemail or a message and let us know what you think about the poop theme. Because honestly,
I think it's
top shelf stuff.
I do too. And this may be a good chance to say you can leave us a voicemail just by clicking the little button on the right-hand side of our homepage and then speaking into your computer.
And if you don't have fingers, let someone else click the button for you.
Or... you can even just click the button to leave us a comment on this episode. You can do that on our homepage.
Or, if you've got a computer but you have no monitor for your computer, have someone with a computer with a monitor click the button for you.
Okay, so anyway, here it is. Headline is, Lakeview man put poop under nosy neighbor's door.
Under noisy neighbor.
Yeah, he was nosy too, though.
He was a noisy, nosy
neighbor door.
Oh, right.
Because he said urine didn't quiet them down. I had to step it up.
He put... poop under their door because he tried to put pee under there first.
Right. He said that just didn't work. A Lakeview man poured liquid...
Hold on. You got the pencil? I'm taking notes.
A Lakeview man poured liquid feces.
Liquid feces.
Fecal surprise.
Under a neighbor's apartment door because he had to step it up after plain old urine failed to get the occupants to quiet down, according to police.
What process in your head is happening,
this
mister?
This guy's got a flow chart. He started with just water.
There was a flow, all right.
He started with water. Then he went to garbage. 29-year-old engineer Alan Q. Clay pleaded guilty to criminal damage to property last week and received a sentence of 2 years supervised release, according to court records. Around 8 p.m. on January 23rd, a 20-year-old woman reported that liquid poo had been dumped under her apartment door. I wonder if he actually, like, put it under the door somehow so it was in their apartment.
Well, it was liquid. He just squirted it under the...
On the 55th floor of a high-rise in the 600 block of West Irving Park. The woman told cops that she had previously caught Clay, who lives below her on the 54th floor, pouring urine into her apartment. She suspected... that Clay was also responsible for the poo blast, police said. That police station, that's the gun I want. Forget the water gun. I want the poo gun. At the police station, Clay engaged in one of the better post-Miranda warning statements that we've seen lately, according to his arrest report. The arrestee related that he spoke with the building management about noise coming from the victim's unit, but they failed to take action. He then stated, after a while, I did prank them with urine.
Pranked them.
It seemed effective. It was only the only way we could communicate. That's how he communicated. Was he a dog?
He couldn't talk to him?
He communicates with urine.
He goes over and lifts his leg and pees on their door.
An officer asked, what's up with the blank? Well, I had to step it up, he said.
Wow.
Stepping it up, all right.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I actually know about this.
Yeah, it's a good story.
This was a Kickstarter.
It's a pretty funny story, too.
Silicon Valley invested $120 million in a $400 juicer that works as well as your hands.
It does.
A startup called Juicero. I actually remember, I saw this, I didn't read the story, so now I'm kind of sad I didn't read it.
It's really interesting.
Okay, well, how about I read this story?
Go ahead.
A startup called Juicero sells a $400 machine for making fresh squeezed juice. Customers buy the machine, and then they get a subscription to special Juicero bags of unsqueezed fruit. You put a bag into the machine and push a button, and in a couple of minutes, you have a cup of fresh squeezed juice.
Sounds great so far.
But a pair of Bloomberg reporters discovered something hilarious. Squeezing the bags with your hands works about as well as doing it with the machine. You really don't need the $400 machine at all.
See, that is awesome.
Investors have pumped $118.5 million into this dubious invention. And the fact that the company was able to raise that kind of money says a lot about the state of Silicon Valley right now. So it talks about the state of Kickstarters.
Yeah.
That crowdfunding stuff is shams, man. They're shams left and right.
A lot of them are.
90% of them seem to be shams.
Have you seen the wallet that charges your cell phone?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
That one's a pretty cool one. But the funny thing about this is you don't need the machine.
I know.
Your hands do exactly what it does.
And the thing is that there have been other machines like beer machines and this and that. You put them in there, but it also carbonates it.
Right.
It dispenses it. Yeah. It refrigerates it. It does all this stuff and gives you an experience like
something you can't do with your hands.
Right. Something you can't do that you – yeah. And this is nothing more than
These guys thought they had like the Keurig of juices.
This is basically no different from the bags of orange juice that you see at McDonald's they put in the bag.
Yeah,
they put
exactly.
the bag in the box.
Yeah.
They put the bag in the machine.
Yep. And it
squeezes just dispenses
it out.
It.
Yeah.
That's all it does.
It's the same thing.
Well, the sad part really on this one is that the people that invested, because shouldn't they have known that when they looked at it?
I don't know.
You think
I
they would
have? Guess
not. Hey, let's just get to something really important in the world, like Walmart.
Headline is, man sets underwear on fire while passed out in a Walmart bathroom.
Look, I'm going to say right now, that can happen.
No, it can't. How? He's passed out.
It happened right here.
A drunken man with a lit cigarette passed out on the toilet in a Spanaway, Washington Walmart bathroom and caught his underwear on fire Monday.
See, it can happen.
I guess it can. Firefighters were dispatched to the store about 6:30 p.m. after fire alarms went off. They went to the store and found the bathroom filled with smoke, brown smoke.
I've walked in a few of those bathrooms myself.
Me too. As the man sat on the toilet, drawers down, he fell asleep, and the ash from his cigarette fell between his legs and ignited his underwear.
He must have been exhausted.
He's lucky all that ignited was his underwear.
Yeah.
The man slept through all of this. He had had a little bit too much to drink.
He might have had a methane surprise.
One of our guys actually used a dry chemical extinguisher to put out his pants while they were on him. The pants,
wait,
not the guys.
The guy, wait.
Yeah.
One of our guys actually used dry chemical extinguisher to put out his pants while they were on him. Why did the firefighter put the guy's pants on?
That roused man, then pulled a knife on the firefighter.
Hey, come here. Hey.
What's that you spraying on me, say? Our guys escorted him to the floor and began to...
That means they threw him on the floor.
Exactly, and began to tend to his injuries.
He was immediately dispatched.
While causing more injuries. The man had burns to his leg and was taken to the hospital, but released that same evening.
I'm guessing since this was Washington, I mean, I would think anywhere in America, you probably weren't supposed to be smoking in there, right?
No, you can't smoke.
I wouldn't think so.
You can't smoke in the bathroom anymore.
Hey.
Yeah.
Swedish football player sent off for farting during match.
You may remember when we were a baby.
I'm sorry, that was my native Swedish accent, and I'm really thick, and people don't understand what I said.
Yeah.
So say, Swedish football player sent off for farting during match.
So I'm going to say, we had a story. You may remember Tupelo Ranty. Remember Tupelo Ranty?
Tupelo Ranty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a whole different story. So we have an epidemic of soccer players farting during matches. But go ahead with your story. I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's not my story. I like to think of it as our story.
I appreciate that.
A Swedish footballer has hit out after being sent off for breaking wind during a match, with the referee accusing him of deliberate provocation and unsportsmanlike behavior.
You aim that at me.
Here we go. Ready?
Ready.
All right. Aaron, before I read this paragraph, I want you to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss you.
What in the world?
This paragraph may kill me.
Okay, go ahead.
Adam Linden Lejunkvist.
Those letters don't belong together.
They don't. Who was playing at left back in a match between Jarna SK's reserve team and Pershagen SK, was shown a second yellow card, probably a brown card, late on when local media called... Man, I told you this paragraph.
Yes.
What local media called bizarre circumstances.
Yeah. Can I say that I do this? I'm not a big soccer fan, but I wish we did this in the NFL.
Farted on people?
Instead of throwing a flag, they'll take their card out of their pocket and like put it right up to their face. Like, this is what you just earned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, he says, ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you walk away for a moment?
I did.
Are you back?
I'm back.
I had a bad stomach, so I simply let go.
Well, they're lucky all he did was break wind at him.
The 25-year-old told somebody we can't pronounce. Then I received two yellow cards and then a red.
And he said, hey, you just showed me orange.
Yes, I was shocked. It's the strangest thing I've ever experienced in football.
Really?
I asked the referee, what? Am I not allowed to break wind a little? No, he replied. I don't get it, but maybe he thought I farted in my hand and threw the fart at him. But I did not.
Does that work?
I don't know. Physically, I'm not sure that's possible.
I'm afraid to try it. I might win a sandwich later that day.
Opposition striker Christopher Lind or somebody, told the paper, I was standing a good distance away, but I heard the fart loud and clear. It's the strangest thing I've seen on pitch. So his fart was on pitch.
Yes.
That's good.
They could use it in a song.
They could. And I've been playing football since I was 8 years old. Well, he probably should take a break because he's probably tired. Kind of a life do they live down there? The referee, Danny Cato, confirmed
finally that, a regular name.
Yeah, that Lejunkvist had received the second yellow card for breaking wind, explained, I perceived it as a deliberate provocation. He did it on purpose.
He said, pull
and
my
it was
finger.
Inappropriate.
That's yeah, how I knew.
That would be the one thing that would kick him out of the game. Therefore, he received a yellow card.
Oh, my gosh.
Lejunkvist told Aftonbladet, to provoke anyone with a fart is not particularly smart or normal. It's nonsense.
It is where I come from.
I just broke wind and got a red card. I spoke to the referee afterwards. I was annoyed, but there were no bad words. I just said he was a buffoon.
I'm sorry.
Keiko said he experienced similar incidents before. Once there was a player who stood and peed next to the pitch. I showed him a yellow card, too. Well, he showed you his yellow card first.
You know, every once in a while we get a story that I need to take a break after.
Yeah.
This is one of them. Oh, my gosh. Story of the night right there. That should have been top story.
Or the day or the morning.
Yeah. All right. Headline is Museum of Ice Cream features a pool filled with sprinkles.
A pool?
You know, you and
a
I.
A pool?
A pool. Yeah. You know, you dive into the pool.
You pull or push?
You pull. It's you a pool.
It's a pool.
Yeah.
For people that are outside of this area, what is a pool?
It's a swimming pool.
Oh, you
pool.
Meant a pool.
No, I said it. I said a pool.
No, you said pool.
It's a swimming pool.
Okay, you should be able to do this. Ready?
Yeah.
You like stories about poo. Say poo.
Poo.
Now put oil at the end.
Oil.
No. Ooh, no. Oil.
Oil.
Yeah.
Oh, poo. That like what we put in the car here yeah. in Tennessee. Oil.
Poo. Okay. Poo. Oil.
Poo. Oil.
Now, together real fast.
Pool.
You're an idiot.
So anyway, headline again is Museum of Ice Cream features pool filled with sprinkles. And the main reason I printed this story, Craig, is because
we like ice cream.
Period. Museum of Ice Cream. I'm sold.
Yeah, we don't care what they talk about.
Put anything in that pool you want, as long as there's ice cream
and
there.
If the sign says Museum of Ice Cream and we're it's actually an underwear factory, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
As long as it says ice cream on the front.
Los Angeles residents and visitors seeking to take in some sweet tooth culture now have a new destination, the Museum of Ice Cream.
I just had an idea.
What?
We should invent a candy called Sweet Tooth.
Oh.
And make it look like candy teeth.
Oh. And they could be shaped like candy corn. We could just buy repackaged candy corn.
Just be a bag of teeth.
Oh.
And they taste like candy.
The Museum of Ice Cream.
Sweet Tooth. Come on, work with me.
Which opened temporarily last summer in New York City.
Temporarily?
Yeah. Last summer in New York City.
I bet their plans melted.
Expanded to four times its size. It did melt. It just expanded right out of there. And moved across the country
apartment door.
For this year's exhibition in Los Angeles Arts District. The museum features 10 exhibits, and each room features the smells and tastes associated with ice cream and adjacent desserts. Man, we got to go there. I'd like to walk into
a room. It's not there anymore.
It smells like Rocky Road. It's not a museum in any traditional sense, Bunn told the news. I want adults to feel like kids. I want kids to come in and feel like the children and just have fun, but I want adults to feel like kids. The museum features a room filled with bananas and a pool filled with sprinkles. The price of admission is a small charge of $29, Craig, and $18 for children.
Okay, but for that $29, I better get all the all-I-can-eat ice cream.
Better be a lot of ice cream in there. So that includes two curated ice cream tastings as well as other sugary edibles.
I don't know. It's a temporary.
All right.
Okay, this next story.
All right.
We're calling this a throwback story.
Why?
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's because it's from 22 years ago and it's a good story, apparently. According to you, it is.
Oh, this one. Yeah, this is a great story. Yeah.
It's the story of Mr. MacArthur Wheeler.
Yeah. You
ready?
Remember, what they called him Mac.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. Well, I'm only 23 now, so I really was too young to know.
No, I called him Mac. Go ahead.
You were much older.
Yeah.
On one fine morning in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the year 1995, a man, age 44, known by the name of MacArthur Wheeler, decided to rob a bank.
This is a different style of story than we normally care. That sounds like a book.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Because back then,
in 95,
they just took stories out of books and pretended they were real.
There was no real news.
Right. Since he thought he knew a lot about a peculiar chemical property of lemon juice,
Mac
he decided to smear the juice on his face before executing his plan to rob the bank.
I would think that acid would not be good for the skin.
His logic, as lemon juice can be used to write invisible letters that become visible only when the letter is held close to a heat source, he thought the same thing would work on his face, too.
So he thought if he put lemon juice on his face...
He'd become invisible.
Why didn't he just use a cell phone?
That's true. You just put it to your ear and act like you know what you're talking about. By smearing lemon juice all over his face, he thought that his face would become invisible to the security cameras in the bank.
What an idiot.
He did not just think that. He was pretty confident about this.
Oh, yeah. This is the funny part.
He even checked this trick by taking a selfie with a Polaroid camera. I'm not sure if the film was defective or the camera wasn't operating properly, but the camera did give him a blank image. The blank image made him absolutely sure that this trick would work, or he would not have ever dared to rob a bank with lemon juice on his face.
That's hilarious.
That day, he went on and robbed not one, but two savings banks in Pittsburgh.
Well, sure. He's invisible. Why not just keep going?
A few hours after he had done his job, the police got their hands on the surveillance tape and decided to play it on the 11 o'clock news. An hour later, an informant identified MacArthur in the news video and contacted the police with the man's name. MacArthur got arrested on the same day. Ironically, the same surveillance cameras that he was confident would not be able to capture his face got him behind the bars during his interaction with the police. He was incredulous on how his ignorance had failed.
So do you think that when they... You're like, knock, 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 open up, it's the police. You think he went and got in the bathtub and just poured lemon juice all over himself?
Yeah,
they'll never see me. I'm not here.
Hey, look over there. That bathtub, it's got the
You can see out in this.
It's moving, but there's nothing in it.
You can see the parking lot.
It's so weird.
Oh, that was a weird story.
Thanks for, well, you know why.
Why?
Weird.
Headline is, teens charged after allegedly trying to break into a car with a police officer inside.
Why wouldn't you just ask him to open the door?
You should probably look into the car you're breaking into to see if it's occupied or not.
Right.
This is from Chesterfield, Virginia. A wild night for a group of teens last week ended with them all facing a slew of criminal charges, including grand larceny, assaulting a police officer, and a firearms violation. According to a Chesterfield Police Department, at around 1 a.m. Friday, an officer was sitting in an unmarked vehicle when he noticed another car pull up behind him. Police say a group of people got out of the vehicle and approached the officer's car. Then one person tried to break in while the officer inside was just sitting there. Crazy. Kind of stupid on their part, said Tori Shelley.
Oh,
hey,
Tori.
Hey, Tori.
Hey, Tori.
Police said the officer who encountered the teens called for backup, and the suspects ran off, but were arrested shortly thereafter. I'm just glad they finally got them, and thank you to the cop that was sitting in his car, said Tori, who witnessed it.
Hey, Tori.
Hey, Tori.
Three injured in Sioux Falls fire. Man arrested trying to save his beer.
How do you get arrested for that? What do you do?
I don't know. Let's find out. Three people were treated for injuries after a fire in a apartment building in central Sioux Falls Sunday afternoon. Sioux Falls Fire Rescue responded to a report of smoke coming from a building on Spring Avenue just after 12:30 p.m.
Huh.
Once crews arrived, two people were treated for smoke inhalation on the scene, and then another was taken to the hospital. Officials are still investigating the cause of the fire. Meanwhile, Sioux Falls police said a person was arrested at the scene of the fire. Could they use the word fire a few more times?
Fire.
Fire. Fire. In a tweet, authorities said the person attempted to save their beer by pushing past police and firefighters.
I got beer in there.
One in custody after obstructing fire and police. It's not advisable to push past PD and fire and attempt to save your beer.
That is the moral of the story.
Right.
Don't push past police anywhere.
No, don't push them. They don't like to be pushed. They've got guns.
Yeah, they do. They'll shoot you.
This incredibly poor judgment could have put many responders at risk. Why? Because they would have seen the beer and wanted to drink it?
Yeah. All right, we got a story that's pretty interesting. I've got some audio on it, but what it boils down to, Craig, is a brawl at the 99-cent store.
A bra?
Not a bra, a brawl at the 99-cent store. These two girls, I guess, were wanting to take their breaks at the same time,
right,
and then this fight erupted. So let's go to our
inside of a Houston store.
Employees
pushing and punching each other right at the checkout. Customers also getting caught up in the fray.
You ever see a fight at a store like that?
A man at the 99-cent-only store off the
That'd
North Freeway.
I'd stop and look.
Recorded the whole thing.
In the middle of it.
Channel 2's Keith Garvin spoke with him and joins us live with that interview.
Ooh.
Keith?
Was he in a bathroom?
Sir, that man still can't believe he witnessed that store clerk
melee. Niagara Falls?
Hey, Keith, the video that he captured. Keith, can you get out of the bathroom, please?
And has now been viewed more than 165,000 times.
Keith's actually driving through the car wash.
Oh, in the store.
Shopping at a store in North Houston looked more like an episode of Jerry Springer after a
Jerry,
only location at the North Freeway and Parker. The fight was recorded by customer Leonardo Balderas, who had taken his mother there to shop.
Come on, mama.
I thought it only happens on Black Friday sales.
That's racist, sir.
Just at a regular store, middle of the day, you know. 99-cent stores, I've seen it on YouTube, you know, Facebook also, but I never witnessed it firsthand.
What he says he witnessed Thursday afternoon was two employees arguing over who was going
to
go to lunch first.
Heated conversation.
I'd like to hear it unedited.
I believe there was a manager there and told him, don't go. You know, just play off your shift.
But Leonardo says that's when the situation between the two clerks escalates.
Listen to that ruckus.
I'm going to start using don't go, just play off your shift is something I say to people.
You're a B word.
Oh.
And the other time, I'm going to show you a B. And she just ran across and just, that's when I started filming. And
yeah, look, that's not a B, that's a hornet.
Try to break up the fight is not a manager or even a fellow co-worker, but a customer. And then a woman holding a newborn baby comes in, but she can't stop the melee.
Mama ain't gonna do nothing.
Aside,
she's got a baby in her arms.
Appears to help the original customer in the fight. As a past manager in retail himself, Leonardo says he posted this video to Facebook and spoke to us because he believes the fight wasn't just a display of anger, but also poor customer service.
Everybody viewed that
poor
video,
customers.
Even if it's just store owners, they just look at that video, dissect it, and that's what happens. When there are two
so he's pushing his video as a training video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now.
This guy's become like a
don't let it
consultant.
To what happened on that video.
I'll sell you this video.
Here's my card.
To the corporate office for the 99-cent only.
Maybe you can learn something.
In Southern California, but they told us that they cannot talk to the
media.
Like
they should dissect the employees.
And they
listen,
said
he's back in the bathroom again.
Do not have any comments on any of the details of the incident.
Reporting
well.
From Niagara Falls.
Going over in a barrel. Wow, that just kind of ended.
Yeah, it did. Abruptly.
Hey, man shoplifts cigarettes in front of cops in Wawa,
idiot.
Police say.
Is this the same person that broke into the car with the cops sitting in it?
I just want to know what Wawa is.
Oh, it's what you drink when you get thirsty.
That is true. A 32-year-old South Jersey man didn't let the presence of two uniformed police officers in a convenience store stop him from trying to steal 9 packs of cigarettes.
Why not go for 10?
Why not?
Just
why not?
Grab a carton.
Well, his hands probably only has small hands.
He's got it.
Robert Jones went behind the Wawa counter.
Bob Jones. What's your real name?
So is Wawa a name of a store or Wayway? Wawa?
Wawa? It's just, I don't know what it is.
Anyway, 2:30 p.m., he grabbed 9 packs of Newport 100s. Pleasantville. I saw that movie. Police said in a news release, though one of the cops told him to stop, Jones darted from the store, according to police. As both officers gave chase, Jones jumped into the back seat of a waiting car parked on the side of the store. The driver, Angela Nixon, 33, of Mays Landing, put the car in reverse, but had apparently had a change of heart when ordered to stop by the police.
So she was the getaway driver.
Right. Jones, though, refused to get out of the car and had to be pepper sprayed before being physically removed from the vehicle.
Y'all mind if I have a smoke first?
Dixon and Jones.
Hey,
and
I got all their albums.
They're all one of them are good. An Egg Harbor Township resident were charged with shoplifting. Jones was also charged with resisting arrest. They were issued summonses and released.
You know, if you're going to shoplift in front of two uniformed cops, I think you need to be arrested. I don't think a ticket's going to do it.
If you're that brazen, I mean, if that's not going to stop you, what's going to stop you, right?
Lock them up.
Both officers, part of the Pleasantville Street Crimes Unit, that just sounds contradictory to itself, Pleasantville Street Crimes, were wearing wearing vest with police emblazoned in white letters across them.
Okay, we got a story here of a guy that got busted on a during a romantic dinner. Headline is, woman shames cheating boyfriend after message pops up on his phone during a romantic weekend getaway. One woman faced an awkward car journey back from holiday in York after a Tinder message popped
up. Holiday? We know where this is from.
Yeah, popped up on her boyfriend's phone during a romantic meal. The girlfriend publicly shamed him in a review of the pub on its Facebook page, good, writing, really nice bar, lots of atmosphere, and a good Sauvignon Blanc. Unfortunately, halfway through said wine, my boyfriend's phone bleeped with a Tinder message, which, of course, I wasn't supposed to see. So our visit was cut short, and he consequently got dumped, and we drove back to Leicester. Very uncomfortable car journey, as you can imagine. I recommend this pub definitely, but best to go with someone who isn't a lying, cheating beep head, as you will have a much nicer time than I did. The pub responded in a funny but sympathetic comment saying, Allison, you sound like an absolute sweetheart. We're sorry your visit didn't turn out as planned. Your boyfriend sounds like an absolute cad and a bounder.
Oh, no, they didn't say bounder.
What's a cad and a bounder?
It's a cad and a bounder.
I've heard cad before. I don't know what bounder means.
He's a bounder.
We deplore such actions. It's unbecoming of a true gentleman. I agree with that.
Well, he didn't qualify for that, did he?
No, he did not. If you'd mentioned this at the time, we'd have defended your honor by challenging said scallywag to a duel, or at the very least, giving him a shake of our heads and send him on his way with a collective tisk tisk, and advise that gentleman he should never treat his fair maiden with he should only treat his fair maiden with the utmost respect. You deserve better. Next time you're in York, either with a new beau or with chums, pop in and say, what ho?
What ho?
And we'll make
what,
sure
what?
We'll make sure your next visit is far more enjoyable. Please accept my warmest sympathies and kindest regards on behalf of all the staff at Sutler's, Captain Darling.
I'm going there.
Allison responded, Captain, your comments are most kind. I love York and am very disappointed with my 4-day trip that it had to be cut short. However, next time around, I'll definitely pop in and say, what ho?
Yeah, what ho? Shortly after her and Captain were married.
No, they were not. Hey, did you hear about the cat in the tree with the shot with the machine gun?
No, but yeah. I bet it's right here in the story. Feline fatale. Police alerted.
I like the way you said that. Feline fatale.
Feline fatale. Police alerted to cat in tree armed with a gun.
Yes. Cat was in the tree with a gun.
That's nuts. That'd be a squirrel.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
No cats. No.
An innocent cat who was hanging out in a tree may have come within a whisker of losing his life on Thursday as a concerned passerby reported it to police as being armed with a rifle.
There was a picture, and
a what?
In this guy's defense, it did look like a cat was holding a rifle.
Police in Newport, Oregon arrived at the scene after receiving reports that a black and white cat was hiding in a tree armed with what appeared to be an assault rifle. At what point does somebody stop and think about this?
You got to look. Now, the picture, it really did look like a cat was holding an assault rifle. So, I mean, I would somebody thought enough of it to actually take a photograph.
Newport police explained in a Facebook post that when the feline was contacted by their canine, it was determined that the cat wasn't in possession of a high-powered weapon, but rather holding onto a non-lethal branch. Reports of an armed cat this morning were unfounded, police said, explaining the feline was...
I'm sure it had arm. No, it had paws.
It had paws. Yeah. The feline was contacted by our canine. Oh, hello, hello,
Look, I could eat you right now.
Yeah, I just need to know if you got a gun up there. Got a gun up there or not. It was determined to be in possession of a non-lethal branch. The cat didn't escape entirely unscathed, however, as police issued it a couple of warnings.
Great.
The cat was given a verbal warning for posing with what could be mistaken as an assault rifle while wearing poor camouflage attire, Newport police joked.
Yeah, that's their idea of humor. Everybody loves good cop humor.
I like a good cat with an assault rifle.
You ever like to wear muddy jeans? I am very uncomfortable in dirty jeans.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I was hoping this was not real.
No, it's real.
But then I thought to myself, self? I said, what? You've seen dumber stuff. I said, nope, probably not. But I thought, but you've seen stuff like this. I said, yeah, probably. And I was done talking to myself. They put me in one of those white shirts and sent me off.
Excellent. Well, the headline is Nordstrom.
You kind of seem like you were wanting to get to the story. Yeah, because you kind of brushed me off.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Nordstrom selling fake.
Who?
Nordstrom. Selling fake muddy jeans for $425. I wouldn't pay $425 for a clean pair of jeans.
I saw several people say I could go buy you some Walmarts and make them look like that within about an hour.
Absolutely. This is from, you know where this is from, don't you? In Florida, I went desert. Miami. Department store giant Nordstrom is now selling fake muddy jeans to make it appear that you're not afraid to work, but without the actual working. The PRPS jeans are called Barracuda Straight Leg, and they look like you've put in a hard day on the job in the mud, Craig.
Pretty sure that if you wear Nordstrom jeans, everybody knows you did not put a hard day in work.
However, the person wearing the jeans will actually have to pay $425 for the honor of fooling the public. According to the Nordstrom website, the jeans embody rugged Americana workwear that's seen some hard-working action with a crackled, caked-on coating that shows you're not afraid to get down and dirty.
You're not afraid to pay stupid prices for jeans.
Exactly. Many of the comments on the site ridicule Nordstrom, no doubt. Hipster Joe writes, I love that I can now fake a work ethic. Can I get one with fake oil stains? I want to pretend to be a car guy. While a rural economist chimes in, gotta love being able to look like I fed the pigs, helped deliver a calf, and get a tractor unstuck without ever having to leave my BMW. Love it.
It just actually makes me... It makes me facepalm America.
It does.
I'm just like, I cannot believe.
But you see things like this every few years. I remember shotgun jeans were the thing 1 year. It was like $500 for a pair of jeans that had been shot with a shotgun. Had holes all in them.
It's just dumb. Jeez. Hey, play the music.
Oh, are you ready?
The Flash Check is top 10.
Yes.
10 things we learned about Kim Jong-un from his classmates.
So this is Kim Jong-un in 7th grade-ish area.
Fatty McFatpants.
Yes.
Again, we only make fun of him because he's a dictator.
Number 10, he totally vanished.
Oh, did he have lemon juice all over him?
He was like a magician.
Wow.
Kim still had a partial school year to finish when he abruptly disappeared in the year 2000.
A lot of people in his family disappear, but they don't come back.
They say, where'd he go?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't come back.
No, they don't.
Number 9, he gorged himself on Swiss cheese. He was reportedly so fond of Swiss cheese that he later deployed his personal chefs to a French culinary school to try to replicate the medium hard Emmental?
Yeah. That's the cheese, man.
Emmental.
Yeah.
What was it called? Cheese. He had enjoyed while he was a student. Well, it looks like he succeeded and he ate all the cheese.
I think we actually reported that story when it happened.
I don't remember. I remember so little.
Yeah. Number 8, he wasn't the smartest kid in the class. Although Kim was 2 years older than most of his classmates because he wasn't as proficient in German, he still struggled to keep up academically. I struggle to keep up academically.
Apparently. Number 7. He favored tracksuits.
Yeah.
Like Tony Soprano and his father before him, Kim tended to dress for comfort, not presentation. I would still say he does that.
Yeah, he does.
His regular outfit is just not even.
Number 6, he would not tolerate cold spaghetti.
He is a fiend.
Even in grade school, they said that he had an attitude towards the cafeteria if they served
any kind
cold
of spaghetti.
Me too.
Number 5, he overshared.
Really?
Despite the lengths his family went to keep his real name secret, Kim couldn't always help but share his father was the leader of North Korea. According to classmate Zhao McCambla, Kim once announced his heritage during a conversation with him.
Number 4, he had an entourage even in grade school. Kim's presence was unique in the Swiss school for his entourage. At any point, a small number of Koreans appeared to be acting as servants, bodyguards, and assistants for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
He liked action. Number 3, he liked action movies. In 2009, friends of Kim's related to the Washington Post that Kim was slightly socially awkward, particularly around girls. When he wasn't watching basketball, he was usually watching action movies and using his Sony PlayStation.
Number 2, he had an alias.
Wow, really?
Yeah, not wishing to be identified as the son of Korean leader Kim Jong-il.
Well, according to number 5, he wanted to be.
Kim registered with the Swiss school, Liefeld something, under the name of Pakun.
And number 1, 10 things we learned about Kim Jong-un from his classmates. Number 1, He loved his Air Jordans.
Well, who doesn't?
The 17 I don't buy them because they're expensive.
They are.
The 17-year-old was obsessed with basketball in general and the Bulls in particular, devoting an entire room in his apartment to memorabilia. So if he loves the Bulls so much, why does he want to blow them up?
Good question.
If he's such a big fan.
Hey, Craig.
Hey.
That brings us to the end of our first episode of Weird.
Of Weird.
Well, how do you think it went?
It was weird.
Well, we're going to go out with our new ending theme song, also from Mark Patch.
Yeah, Mark.
Mark is the man. Hey, check us out on weirdnewspodcast.com. Leave us messages there. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll see you next time.